Okay, we're going to talk about the weapon of grace, but we're going to pray first. Father, thank you for this day. From the moment I woke up, Lord, I knew you were there. You're here with us. Thank you for your presence. We thank you for your continued love and the way that you continue to pour out everything that each of us needs. Father, right now I ask for healing. I ask for your gift of healing to be abundant among us and in us. Ask for healing for Gail, for me. Well, probably everybody in this room probably has something they need a little help from. And I'm not just talking about physical, talk about in every way, shape, and form that your healing is manifested in us. And I thank you for that, Father. We are your sons and we love you and we're moving forward in the name of your son Jesus. And that's who we pray in with. Amen. So, all right. Weapon of grace. I don't know. I've noticed that I have a lot of, not a lot, but I taught on weapon of love. I want to talk about the weapon of grace. I know you guys have, I don't know if you all have been able to, but I'm going to encourage you once again. If you are not reaching back or reaching out over to the Dallas website and taking in all the teachings that have been put forth, please do so. All of the stuff that's coming out of Dallas is very cool, but it's also reinforcing who we are as saints. And the things that the Lord's telling us as a house as well. But I know Pastor Ron in December started talking about these three gifts, I guess he called them gifts, impartations that the Lord is gonna fill us with going into this new year of grace and supplication. And it took me a little bit to figure all three of them out. Well, yeah. Anyway, so what the first one was. Grace, no, lips. The lips were first, and then grace, and then treasures, which turned out to be the treasures that the wise men brought to Jesus, and we're going to talk about that. But anyway, there's a lot of new revelation that has been released, and I still haven't caught up, and I know I talked to Vicky about this a little bit, but I think the latest one I haven't read, listened to is Table of Grace. I think. Was that a sermon or was that a Wednesday Night Live sermon? So please go check it out. And what's really awesome too is that he has handouts too. So you're able to follow along. For me, it's easier when I have a handout. Because then he goes, turn two. And I'm like, oh, wait, wait, wait. It's easier when I just pick up the paper. Okay, set it back down. But that's not the real point of getting to those things, but the information that the Lord is pouring out into him, but also into us, is it's amazing for this coming year. So we know that, I mean, I know, we know that God is opening new avenues for us to reach into the nations on his behalf. It's something that's been, it's been growing. It's like a snowball going down a hill. Though I don't like snow, but still that concept is very vivid. It's what the Lord is doing right now in the earth. There's so much going on, but it's just so awesome all the things that he's opening up for us. You know, Vicky's going to talk about that a little bit later. So the thing though with that's come along with all of this and leading into the year also has been the opposition that we have felt. And when I say opposition, I don't mean, you know, like this church cannot go forward because and fill in the blank. I don't mean personal opposition that we have felt in the spirit, and it's manifested in the natural. And you can see those kinds of things going on everywhere where what God is doing, what God wants to do, his desire to do, he's removing those oppositions in miraculous ways. And which is totally awesome. We can have one example we can look at right now is what happened in Venezuela. Because Anybody that said in September, for instance, that Maduro would be gone, you would have been shot if you were in Venezuela, for starters. But that has opened up the kingdom of God to that country in so many ways. Well, it's a miracle. It's an absolute miracle that that occurred. Now, some of us may have thought, yeah, he'll get his. But did you think he'd get his this early? So soon in life? So there's things like that occurring. That's just a big manifestation of the miraculous of great grace of God. And that, you know, I know some have been praying for that, for an opening in Venezuela. So don't stop praying, obviously. Some of the other things that are going on as the feelings of being uncomfortable. But also what's going on is the feeling of feeling. How we feel so obviously guides our countenance and who we are and all those kind of things. And it's just the enemy's at work, obviously. If God's grace is at work, so is the enemy. Because grace leads to the miraculous. Grace leads to forward progression. I mean, we've talked about grace 1,000 times, and now we're going to do it 1,001 about what grace really is. I mean, what is it to you when you say the grace of the Lord, when you start talking about grace? I mean, we have all these things, keys in our head that help remind us of what grace is. You know, promotion. It's that opportunity to go from one level to the next level above. The color orange. I mean, we had some beautiful sunsets. Oh my gosh, they've been unbelievable. And I don't have a good reason, because we don't have a bunch of forest fires, which sometimes cause that to be that way. But they've been really gorgeous. To me, it's like God going, yep, you're going to make it, Annette, for me. Look at all that grace that's being poured out upon the earth. Thank you, Lord. I need more. Give me more. So dealing with the way we feel, for me, is a challenge. There's lots of challenges. I could hand the microphone. Well, Vicky could. Hand the microphone around. You guys might all have at least one challenge that's going on right now that you could use a grace cure. You could use some grace applied to that place. Whether it's how you're feeling about a situation, whether it's grace for a situation or a person, you could use that. And so in so many ways, grace becomes a weapon against what the enemy's strategy and plans are. And we need to continue to activate that and pray in that great grace for really the nations. That's really, because we want these people, whoever these people are, to know who God is and to know their calling. Because if you know who you are, dealing with opposition is so much easier. And just from a standpoint of, for me, like work, if I know who I am, then I can stand against the opposition that's coming at me and not let that mess everything up. I mean, so when we talk about opposition, when it comes to grace and supplication or grace, we know that Beelzebub is that entity that comes against that. Not the only one, though, mind you, but that's what Beelzebub does. He doesn't want you to move forward. He doesn't want you to have this all the supply that you need to accomplish what God is doing, to be a partner with what God is doing. And so he rears his ugly head. But part of what he provides, that's a weird way to say it, but part of what he provides for us is confusion. A doubt about who you are. I mean, a lot of us are pretty much past that. But that doesn't mean that it doesn't come sneaking up behind you, having this doubt about, what are you doing? What are you doing? Maybe it's just me, but that kind of a sneak attack, as I call it, because it's haven't had to deal with it, and suddenly there it is again. Does it really matter? I don't think in the big scheme of things, from a spiritual aspect, that it really matters. Yeah, that's true. So if we, you know, not that we're going to study Beelzebub, but if you understand that there is opposition coming against not just us, but against Saints Network entirely. And then not just that, just the, you know, what's happening with some people in Brazil, et cetera, et cetera. Go.
It does matter, though, if it wears you down, or you allow it to wear you down, and you start to back off or grow weary and just slack off. I mean, it can have that effect, and it's a real thing, because I've heard too many people talk about it, and yeah. I felt it myself. So, yeah, it really does matter. It doesn't matter in regards to that, to make a spotlight on it or anything.
Right.
Because it's just part of living this life. Mm. But we do have to rise up to the occasion as passionately as we did in the beginning.
Yeah.
And ward it off and guard ourselves and press forward, not just out of rote, but in a willingness to want to move forward.
Yeah. And there's so many things I can say about that. One thing is, though, the zealousness of the enemy to destroy God's kingdom and God's people has never wavered. And that's obvious in scripture from the very beginning. And then even after the scripture stopped, and look at us. I mean, it's never wavered.
I think, you know, if it, even in the natural, when you have someone who is protecting something and it is challenged, even if they know they're going to lose and they can't hold it, they get desperate and they do desperate measures.
Yeah.
And so I think, if anything, he's intensifying because he knows his days are numbered, and he can see the devotion of the saints, and he can see the expansion of what God is doing amongst his people.
Yeah.
And so I think that is a motivation for him to ratchet things up. But, you know, we've also been ratcheted up in grace. We've also been,
yes,
you know, we've grown in grace for how many years, and continuing. That's why it's so important to continue and not just slack off and go, okay, well, I've done a lot, and I've accomplished a lot, and God's done a lot through me, and he's really changed me. And, you know, I'm just going to kick back just a little bit and not press in so hard. And mm-hmm. I don't even know if you even consciously think that way.
Nope.
You just fall into it with the stuff that's going on around you and the other demands that come up.
Right. Like Carmen said, the enemy tries to convince you. Does it really matter? Does it really matter that you didn't do this or don't do that? So, you know, the list that I provided on there, which I didn't provide, I shouldn't have said it that way, that's in scripture, and we're going to talk about that, we've seen them before. That list is a list of weapons that we have available to use to not stop. That's a list that we use to, in an offensive way. I'm on offense. I'm moving forward. Oh, wait, something's happened. Now I'm on defense. That's okay. These weapons still apply. So these are weapons of offense and weapons of defense. And it's something there's time when we need to yield them. We need to oh yeah, I need to do that and grab a hold of it and apply it. And, you know, everybody's different in here, that when do I need to press into diversity of tongues? Well, okay, we're going to say always, but when do I really need to apply that? That's a weapon against what the enemy's trying to do. So it's so weird not having, looking over there for Kim and Bob. I'm like, I stop at David. Hi, David. Okay, I'm going to keep going. So anyway, we need more pocket Jesuses in our lives, though, by the way. Could you order another set for me? Thank you. Every time I see that, I'm going to think about that. Every time I see one. We have several in this church. You'll have to find them all. But and again, this isn't anything really new, but it's an encouragement in this year of grace and supplication. And it's an encouragement for you, especially if you have any connection or communication in the natural with anyone that's new in this walk, please apply communication to them. Please, and provide encouragement, I'm just going to say, but also to each other, because I couldn't, you know, I know I got to stand on my own, but there are times when I am so grateful for you people. You people. Anybody out there that's watching, you people. Because sometimes a hug makes all the difference for me. But there's encouraging words that we can provide for each other as we yield these weapons of grace, even though I just called it weapon of grace, but there's these lists that we have. So I know Pastor Ron was talking about those three gifts, which I think I mentioned already: lips, the gift of grace, and the representation of the gifts of the wise men, which was gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And I know we've studied that, right? We all learned what those things were, but I'm still going to go over it really quick, right? So gold represents faith and what God does on behalf of the right hand of the throne of God. Faith is always tested, and it's always being refined, which we absolutely know that. Take these off so I can read better. And right, throne of God, right hand, Amon, all of those things, whoop, all together, the throne of grace. There it is again. Grace is a big key right now. And we talk about frankincense, which we've had lovely teachings on incense that goes up before the Lord. Frankincense is part of that. It's our reliance on the fullness of God's truth. It's our devotion as intercessors, which is the key to it all for us. And then we have the last one, which is myrrh. Of course, I know we've talked about that too. Myrrh is, well, we use it to anoint, or not we. It was used to anoint those that had died. So you put myrrh on the dead bodies, but it's also that's what we do. We die to self all the time. And myrrh has that concept of being sanctified and the concept of sacrifice. We are willing to die. And really we're willing to die for what we don't know yet. Because that's also part of grace, revelation, moving forward. This is what we're going forward. What's going to happen tomorrow? Well, I don't know, but I'm willing to die for it because it's in the kingdom of God's plan, and I'm part of that plan. So it's I don't know if it's exactly eye-opening, but, you know, it's a daily thing. It's a daily willingness to die. And it's not really a foreign concept when you say it, but remember in the beginning when you started saying that? We gotta die. We gotta die to ourselves. Ow. That hurts. Yeah, okay, well, no duh. But because of the concept of myrrh, you know, it's the three wise men brought these to the, or I don't know if it was three wise men, these three gifts were brought to the baby Jesus. And if you listen to Pastor Ron's sermon about this, which is right before Christmas, I think, yeah, right before Christmas, it was the concept of we are moving forward and we are birthing new sons as part of the Saints Network, as part of the kingdom of God, as sons of God. This is what we're doing. We're going forward and we're birthing these new sons. And we're going to have all three of these gifts that are not only going to help us do what we need to do, but it's going to provide for the people that we go to. Or even in prayer, I'm not saying we have to go there. Even in your prayer time, these concepts are things that you need to be praying over, for instance, Brazil, for Europe, France, Germany, for India. We haven't forgotten about those guys either. For India, for the people in Eastern Europe that that we haven't had a chance quite to go into for all of South America, which we're well into that prayer time. We're well into that, I mean, praying for those guys in South America, because we know that's the army, where the army's coming from. We're part of that army, but you understand what I'm saying. You know, and then just look at our country and how much prayer that needs. But this is what we're doing. We're going forth and reaching out to sons. So I'm not going to say that. Okay. So I only want to say what God wants me to say, not what pops into my head that may or may not be right. So what gifts has God given to you? Here's a list of them, but there's other stuff, I'll say, not minor, but there's other things that the Lord has presented to you to use on behalf of his kingdom. So if you look at the list of the list that I have at the bottom, you know, take a minute to look at it. And how many of them have you applied in the last month? We can say last month. In the last month. You could say the last year, but whatever. What, looking at them, I mean, how many have you used? How many have you applied in your life? The word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, the gift of faith, the gift of healing. Yeah. Working of miracles, gift of prophecy, discerning of spirits, diverse kinds of tongues, interpretation of tongues. How many of these have been like, oh yeah? I mean, for me, the gift of healing is the one that's always, that's always there. And the miraculous, that's what people look at. Oh yeah, those guys. But how many of you applied or received in the last month and are rolling into grace and supplication? So I'm going to read the scripture that these all came from, 1 Corinthians 12, 1 through 11. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. You know what ye were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit, and there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord, and there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. So one of the things when I read this, and I just, when I read it again, it just hit me. You know, it's to benefit the body. It's to benefit the saints. It's to benefit the kingdom of God when these gifts are used and given. It's not just for you. On the other hand, it's just for you. You follow me. I hope you did. So when you look at all of these gifts that are listed, you know, which ones have been applied to you? Which ones are one of those, oh yeah, I definitely had that one last time. You know, when you talk about grace, you talk about, you know, I'm going to call it a joyful holding of the hand of God to be promoted, except that sometimes during the promotion, it's not that easy. It can be messy. But this is my heart's desire, is to be linked with the Father in this year of grace and supplication, and to accept and understand the upward climb that he has presented to each one of us. If you think about where you've come from and where you are now, you can see God's grace. You can see how God has bestowed his grace upon you. And if you can't see it, go to a wall and bang your head against it and then try again. Sorry. Stop the violence. Very violent. And if you're not sure what's going on, apply one of these gifts. Diversity of tongues is one of the ones that I go to first for lots of things, but apply one of these gifts to what's going on in your life. What's going on, you know, around you. But definitely apply one of these gifts to what's happening in the spirit realm as far as the sons of God and the army of God being built and being moved and being commissioned and being moved forward. One of the things that I find amazing that God does for me with the whole grace concept is how he keeps giving. And that in turn makes it easier for me to keep giving or help move me forward. And it's like, it's not anymore. It's not really an effort. It's starting to become a way of life. It's starting to become the way that I act instead of, oh yeah, wait, great grace. Oh yeah, I need to. But instead it's something that's just, it's just a given. I think about all the times that I've traveled. Do you guys know how much I love traveling? Right? And yet, blueberry coffee. Yes, blueberry coffee. Thank you, Adrian. It tastes like blueberry coffee. You know, we keep going though. I keep going. Why? Why do I keep going on trips? When it's offered or it's asked, I'm like, okay, I don't even think about it. And then like a week later, I'm like, why did I do that? And then I know, because that's what God needs us to do. I'm going to say me, but us, you know, because each one of us has a different calling, a different way of seeing things, a different way to pray. How to apply the things that God has given us. That's why we have such great, awesome teaching, because it comes from all these different perspectives, and it's an encouragement, but it's also how we stand together strong as a body of Christ. The real concept of the body of Christ is right there. And so the grace gives you that power to move forward, that the information and knowledge to rise up. Carmen, did you want to say something? Okay, because you look like you're ready to say something. So, okay, where am I? I don't know, where am I? I found my notes. Okay, so when we talk about these, what is it, nine gifts? Oh, you guys know that, sorry, a little rabbit hole. Did you guys know that Pastor Fabian and our youth group, which was at that time Richard, Lisa. Was that it? I think that was it. We made a game. Do you remember the game? Okay. We created a game. Like Risk, I guess, in a way. And we had these nine spiritual gifts. Grace gifts as part of the game. So what there's five of them. What office do you have to say? What I'm trying to remember the game. Lisa, help out. I know you remember the game. The five spiritual gifts, the five offices, the nine grace gifts. There were seven. Seven spirits, thank you. How hard is that? You know, and if you had certain cards that applied, then when you went to that country, I mean, into that continent, you could take that continent for God. So it's even roll a die and different things like that. But it was kind of fun. Where is it now? On Pastor Fabian's computer, I think. So that was kind of neat, because you had to be able to apply certain aspects of the grace to take the dominion over the place. All right, I'm stumbling around, so I'm going to quit stumbling around. Okay, So as you can see with each one of the spiritual gifts, there's a little tiny blurb that was in there. I got this from Stacy's Line Upon Line book, and she got it from wherever she gets information from. It usually tells you down there where it is, from this teaching or that book or this book. And so there it is. So when you look at the word of wisdom, and it tells you the exact Greek word, a word about where God wants to take us to turn darkness to light. Then the word of knowledge and the gift of faith, the gift of healing. And I thought that word was llama, charisma llama, because my eye was squished. I knew that wasn't right, so I had to go look that up. I like the way that they say that a grace remedy, a prophetic prescription. That's what we need. So many times, not prescriptions of the world, and they have a lot to offer you. Whether it's a physical healing that you need, or cure that you need, a mental cure that you need, any of that stuff, the world has alternatives, and they always will. But we want the prophetic prescription of the Lord to prevail in our lives and in our hearts. Working of miracles. Energize the release of the explosiveness of God. I don't think that I've read these before I got here, obviously. I don't think I've ever really thought of the working of miracles to be that kind of combination. To energize that the explosiveness of God. Wow. Gift of prophecy. We understand that one. An understanding, huh? To draw from and dying on behalf of the understanding. I know you guys can read that. So grace prophecy is a strategic release that hits the mark of what God wants to do. You know, today we have prophetic presbytery. I want to keep that focused in my mind. That's what I need to prophesy from that. But it's a year of grace, but we also know there's lots moving forward in the kingdom of God. And that's, we want to be a part of that. Discerning of spirits. This is the other one that I looked, when I read this, I said, I need to apply this more. Am I discerning the spirits that are involved in what's happening around me? I can tell you that not always. And I need to always, because why? It enables us to understand why something is happening. How many times have I been asking that question in the last month, 2 months, 3 months, or forever? How many times I've been asking that question? What is going on? What is happening now, Lord? As Zoe likes to say, what exactly is happening right now? What's happening? And that's usually when your kids are being crazy, which they are all the time. So I'm not sure why she keeps asking that question. Just kidding. You know, we need to know. And the diverse kinds of tongues. I mean, we've talked about this again a billion times. But one of the best parts about diversity of tongues is that it enhances and enables us to break forth. To break forth, to have that breaking power that we need. We need breakthrough. Yeah, you need diversity of tongues. That's what needs to be applied. And the last one, interpretation of tongues. And this is probably the one that maybe all of us could say that is lacking in me, but God giving the overall assessment of something wherein grace is released in order for people to move forward. It's great. It's great grace. So this is what we need to weaponize. Ooh, I used that word. Okay, so let me go back to over here. Have you all been reading, declaring the stuff that Adrian read and distributed to us? Mine's two pages because I had to print it again. The Year of Grace and Supplication. We did that declaration. When did we do that? Last week. And then Monica encouraged us to read these every single day. And make all these declarations every day. And so as I've been going through these, I've been applying them because I read them and I'm like, Lord, where am I applying this today? Where am I talking today about my lips moving, but no voice? About the boundaries of what the Lord has set up for us as saints, how that has expanded. And declarations of the network, not the network, God's kingdom expanding. Where's that being applied? And so each one of these, is there five? There's five scriptures and five declarations, right? Would you guys count those? Okay. Are you all doing these, by the way? Have you been reading them every day? Whether it's in the morning, whether it's at night. The Lord has led me to do it in the morning and at night because I just have to get my brain in the right direction right now. So these are great. And I know we had one pagers. So do we have any more of the copies of those out there? You know? Okay. If you don't have it, grab it. It's going to make a difference. Okay. Oh, thank you, Larry. Okay, where's my next page? 1, 2, 3. Okay, 4, there it is. So part of the opposition that we're going to feel, obviously, is, as we already talked about, is Beelzebub and his characteristics and his little minions that continue to try to come and get us. And I didn't put any scriptures about Beelzebub on the sheet. There you go. But you can find them if you look in the book, or you can find them by just looking up Beelzebub. One of the there's two areas that Beelzebub definitely excels in. One is to do to cause division to happen. We already know that, and I dare say we have experienced some of that trying to infiltrate this house / the Saints Network as a whole, a division. And one of the other areas that he excels in, see if I can say it right, because he's the prince of devils. That's right. He's prince of devils. He maneuvers, is that the right way to say it? He maneuvers the supply of the enemy to the point that needs defense, to the point that is on the verge of being filled with grace and being promoted to the kingdom, into the kingdom of God. So however he wants to do that, sometimes it's with words. Sometimes it's with failed grace, which is bitterness, right? Sorry, I'm having a moment. I have a moment a lot lately. I'm not even sure how to say this. I think I'm stuck. I think I'm done. Anybody else have anything they want to add? Well, I just don't know how to say the next. I don't know really how to share the next part, but, you know, do what? Yeah, I know. You're asking me, and I don't know how to say it, how to express it. Yes, Beelzebub stuff. See, she's going to try to get it. This is what she does to her kids when she was teaching. It's cool. Am I right? Nobody else is saying anything but you. You tell me about Beelzebub. That's true. So it's about words. And it's related to the lips part, which is related to the grace part, which is related to the treasures part. You know, we have words that are in our heart, but we don't always say everything that's in our heart for whatever reason. The enemy wants us to say the things that are not cool that are in our heart. We all have some of those. That's what he wants us to say. But we've been talking a lot about not saying those things. Sorry. But there's times when it gets overwhelming. Now she's going to come and say something. Go ahead, Carmen.
Assume. You're talking about assume.
Okay.
I think you're talking about the freedom to assume. And in this world, it's fighting to keep us from assuming God things.
Okay. I had to get over there. Did you get over there with her?
Well, when you're being attacked by Beelzebub, he doesn't want you to assume God. He doesn't want you to think about him. He wants to bring up everything that he can possibly find that will keep you down from taking your mind and your motivation and your motion, your forward progression forward. And this whole scripture talks about that process from the beginning to the end, in order, about that process that we have to take our minds, souls, and spirits to make it something that moves forward with another human or person, with God's plans to unite, to come together, to be a saint. It's all that progression. And we have to assume that's happening. We have to live in this place of our mind that automatically connects and re-triggers for what God wants done and not what the world or Beelzebub would think should be done. When you're talking about not having the words to speak, good.
True.
Because guess what? You're not supposed to know the words, right?
Yeah.
You're supposed to go for the bold, and that's seeking the word of God. That's reaching out and letting go. That's letting the fire burn off your old thinking. That's letting this process that you're just having your scriptures, it's literally laid out. When my mind wants to go there, what's the first things I have to do?
Right.
Seek the spirit in wisdom. I have to look for what the knowledge of that wisdom is to me. I have to take it to where my faith is and purge it. I have to give it a safe place, a healing for receiving what God would have it be. That requires pain. It does.
Ooh.
and then if you're in that place, you may not know that you're doing these things. It doesn't mean the rest of the scriptures is great, because it's talking about every place it talks about God. It's talking about he's working all things together. He's working his purpose to get it done. He's dividing to every man severally. He's worketh that one and selfsame spirit in you. Mm-hmm. That same spirit doesn't pick and choose things. He's downloading every single item on this list and more. But it doesn't mean that you can process it. It doesn't mean that you're going to know that that's happening. You're going to be able to know where the places that burn. You're going to know those things that touch you and that you feel and that you can assume and react and flow with. But the rest is still happening. It's just that we can't always see it. But guess what's great about that?
What?
To me is that's what partnering and uniting with other saints and with God at the same time, because that's the flow, is bringing about. It's bringing about those things, because that's the only place a miracle can happen, is when you're together working something for God. And he says that over and over in scripture. He says it in this scripture a whole bunch. I mean, the previous lines, 1 through 6, you know.
So maybe assuming is one way to say it. What about anticipation?
Same thing, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, because if we anticipate that God's going to do something, the enemy doesn't want us to anticipate. He doesn't want us to even look forward. It's like seeing the end from the beginning.
Go, girl.
So, you know, and depending on the circumstance or what's happening, that can be very difficult. I mean, imagine if God showed you from the beginning that you were going to go to Brazil in any capacity, and that you were going to take your kids. I mean, in any capacity. The enemy doesn't want that to happen, but great grace was applied, and it made such a difference. It made such a difference.
To me, it's even to the point of forget what the enemy wants. Don't even care.
Yep.
Clarifying what God wants, knowing what the $100 bill looks like for real, knowing every detail of God, knowing his heart, knowing how he purges me, knowing how I receive from him. How do I welcome him? How do I prepare to welcome him? How do I lay it all down? How do I speak in tongues to receive? Am I applying that? You know, it's good to have words given to you. It's good to have something applied to you, but it goes deeper than that, because you can't make this stuff up. That's why it's so hard to preach to people and to encourage people in tongues as well. It's because they don't understand that there's something that you're letting go of that is uncontrolled.
It's an uncontrolled thing. And so when he's coming against what we're assuming, it's taking, he's trying to mask. He can't hide it. He can't totally he can reinterpret it for us, what that uncontrolled thing is, and make us fear it and make us doubt it. But we assume it. We assume it. Like Pastor Tina always says, doesn't matter what it looks like. Doesn't matter what it looks like. We're assuming God. We're going forward with God. Mm-hmm. We're going to assume that that is a different angle, that we need to approach this and move forward still. Oh, we're being changed again. That's a different angle. Oh, my knee hurts. Oh, my other knee hurts. Oh, my foot hurts. Oh, you know, whatever it is. Hello. That's just me repositioned. Oh, my mother-in-law gave me the best hug I've ever had from her. Wow. That's a miracle. That's great. You know what I mean? Yeah. But it's not the end. It's just that forward progression, that explosion, that blooming, that dunamis miracle that we're feeling. And it's great. I love it.
How do you feel? Thanks. Time girl. Do you need the microphone?
That made me think about the process that Pastor Ron was talking about in his sermon about forgetting.
Yes.
Because when those words that you don't want to say, you know you shouldn't say, they're there, when they come up, that's really a lot of like God bringing up the past. Why does he bring it up? So that you can address it and deal with it the way it needs to be dealt with, which is to relinquish your authority on it, to relinquish your responsibility for it, to relinquish your control over it, and submit it to God in humility.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so that's a way to look at it too.
Absolutely.
You know, because obviously, I mean, you got very emotional about that. There's something that God is wanting you to address, mm-hmm. you know? And so that's something that you also don't want to just ignore. You want to go ahead and submit that to him. You know,
I am not in control.
Sorry. And kind of take your hands off of it. Mm-hmm. Because really that's the old way that you used to deal with, maybe, with stuff, is to say those words. And now you're really trying to press forward. And so in the pressing forward, there's going to be some old things that come up in the process of that. It's not always the enemy. You know, sometimes it's just our mind at enmity with our spirit, and we just need to address those things. And it doesn't have to be a big deal, you know, but it just needs to be in humility that we lay them before him.
I had to bring that word up.
And move on and move forward.
Amen. Carmen has something else to say. She almost fell off her seat.
I wanted to reach the stupid thing. Fire. Sin.
It says in the scriptures, doesn't it, that we don't sin anymore as saints, right? Because really it's a fire. Sin, what looks like sin isn't sin for us. We might have iniquities, but that's not even an issue, even because we're applying it. We're applying that sin. We're applying that iniquity to ourselves. We're taking God and saying, okay, God, what do you want to do with this? I'm not going to ignore it. I'm going to be bold. I'm not going to try and think I know about it. I'm going to give it to you. You're going to tell me. I'm going to take this and let it burn. You know, like the process says, like you can't do this process without feeling those gifts of healing and faith and knowledge and wisdom burning in you and forcing you forward. It comes from your bones out, you know, like tongues force as well, you know.
Okay, so we can't sin?
Well, you quit missing the mark. If you're okay, if you're pressing forward, then you're not going to be off the mark.
Okay.
You know,
the way she said it, I was like, what?
Yeah, but that is the definition of it. I mean, really, that is what she's, that is the same thing. It's just people apply their old definitions to it.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I think it's interesting that the whole way he starts this out is, I mean, this whole, like Carmen said, it's a process, all of this. And he starts it off with, I'm giving you this deeper way of moving forward, of moving into the new.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want you to be agnostic about it. I don't want you to just not care about it. I don't want you to just ignore it. I want you to follow this process. Yeah. And deal with the things in the way they need to be dealt with, in a deeper way, in a pneumaticos way.
Can But like she was saying about sin, because the word ignorant, which is agnoeo, it's, you know, you lack intelligence, but sinning through mistake. You miss the mark through mistake because you're not understanding how the Father has given you these gifts to move in. And so then when something happens, you're not interpreting it through the Spirit and partnering in that fashion.
So
you're
true.
Interpreting it through how you feel, through what it looks like, through the physical lack that now you're seeing as a result of whatever, versus if you're have the understanding because you've had your ear pressed to his heart, because you know what his intent is, because you've had that point of faith grown within you and you're partnering with that and you've died to your ideas of how you thought it should look in the natural for that thing to come to fruition. You know, again, the whole process there that then allows you to not be ignorant, to not sin by making a mistake because you're aligned.
Amen.
It's funny you should say that because that's what I was talking about too with the agnostic, because I've been, Kay and I've been listening to these, the teachings on the new, on the platform. And even though they're things that we know, he's put different spins on some things as well. And that's one of the words he was focusing on was that agnoeo, and the fact that it really is just talking about not caring. You're agnostic. You just don't care one way or the other, you know, or like you said, that's really what causes you to miss the mark, you know, through ignorance, I guess, whatever you want to call it, is because you really are not applying a willingness to apply. Really.
Perfect segue, woman. Yeah, to apply. She said to apply. And that's what I was just going to talk about, because we're going to different countries or going to different people or we're walking our lives. It doesn't matter. We're applying ourselves. But what's great about this is the people we come across are being forced to apply when they come up to us, whether we mean it or not. The Spirit of God is moving through us. It is shining on their dark spots and they're feeling it. I've felt that myself. I feel people push away from me, total strangers, and turn from me just by the atmosphere I'm bringing. They just, you know how, I mean, that's the obvious stuff. You're laughing at the obvious stuff the way I am. I'm used to that. I'm talking about the other stuff too. There's more. I mean, you know, I just, yeah, I just know, because it's subtle sometimes. And I'm just like, what did I do? I was totally perfect and charming and I did everything right. What the heck? You know, or when someone comes in the room and I feel a vibration of just something's trying to crash the party here and it's not good, you know, that overwhelming tremor feel, you know,
but stirring spirit.
When we're talking about different peoples and countries, it's the same thing, I think. And then to take that whole picture of how we're learning to take our sin and turn it into a fire for God, we're taking these countries, wherever they are, from wherever their position, whatever they're saying, whatever they're doing. This is what Pastor Ron does so well. And he takes whatever they give and shows them what that looks like. And guess what that is? Hagios. That's Hagios. It's the only thing. And guess what? That's not him. It's God. God saying, I'm working right through you, bud. This is it. You're doing it. And we're just letting God. Mm-hmm. And it's so beautiful. And that's why it's funny to us to see it happen in a way, you know, when you, like I go to Walmart and somebody goes, you know, no, I can't be around you. I'm going on a different line. I'm just standing here, you know, but no, you feel little things.
Minding my own business.
I don't know. I do. I don't know about y'all, but
no.
This is where I live. So yeah. And it's, and that's the same thing also for miracles. And that's the other half of it too, is when you see, they can't see those things. We get to appreciate those things and see what you're doing is a miracle. You're taking your place right where you're at and you're transforming it with God because I allowed it through my prayer. I allowed God to come in and something came through me that hit you that you didn't buck from, and you're letting God do it. This is all God. And people expect God to be something that's going to scream in your ear and yell at you and go, oh, this is me. Here I go. I'm going to get you. You're going to be saved. Woohoo. Look at that beautiful tub of water. You're going to jump in and be saved. Hallelujah. You're going to get baptized for the 49th time. Woohoo. It doesn't work, does it? It doesn't work. So I'm just saying. There's a lot of this going on. We all bucket in our saint walk, but it's really those opportunities that are just fire that we're going to be, hey, we're here now. So guess what?
Yes, well.
Expect something new.
Expect something new. Did you want to say something?
I was just saying that expectation is truly about that God's doing it. and that he's had things lined up. He's been lining things up from the beginning of time.
Yep.
And so our job is to assess and discern his timing so that when we are led to do these things, we have a confidence that it's the timing of the Lord and that he's bringing success. So our judgment is not about how it looks or, you know, what effect it had, but on the fact that it was God that did it. And he is still working from the beginning of time for what he wants done in that person, in the place, in us. And so we are in harmony in this progression of grace, and we are expecting for it to be all God and nothing from us.
Let it be. Let it be as you say. Thanks, guys. I'm glad we started talking more. Oh, David. Go, David.
So when we talk about, you know, assume, there's assume that's faith, you know, or expectation. There's also assume in taking, like an assumption of command, an assumption of responsibility, that type of stuff. So when we look at grace as a promotion, there are expectations that we are assuming some responsibilities in the kingdom for God. And when you look at Beelzebub and his being the general of the armies and trying to cut off supplies and things like that, you know, for us, anytime you try to grow or move up, there's always going to be something that's going to challenge that naturally, you know, in the spirit realm, all of that. And part of partnering in grace with God and the, when, you know, reading this and they're talking about the different gifts given to the different people, but it's all of the same spirit. That is as not so much for us to team up and be doing it through us, but that is partnering with God to make things happen and to open up the supply of what God wants to do here on earth.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm reminded a guy when he retired one time handed me a rock, and he did right in front of everybody. And he goes, "This is to remind you," as because he was leaving and I was moving up. He goes, "This is to remind you that your job is to listen to your subordinates and remove any rocks that are in their way so that they can do the job. And our job as we progress, when we come up onto these rocks, is to partner with our boss, God, in the ways that we know how, through growing and spiritual growth and wisdom and all of that and timing, and applying that to restore and move the rocks that are blocking these paths."
Exactly. Great grace. Awesome. Nice ending, David. Thank you. Thank you for being here with us, Lord. Amen.